Amen.
So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be in your presence in your house. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have chosen us, that while we're beyond hope, the grace of God did shine into our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ. We praise you for that and pray the same grace will be manifested even greater tonight as we look into your word. May it become very clear to us, Lord. May it become a part of us. This is what we want, Lord. We want to be going from faith to faith, which is revelation to revelation, coming to the very capstone in this hour. We have great hopes and aspirations in Thee, Lord, not in ourselves, but in Thee and because of Thee. So help us tonight as we lay our hearts, our minds, and our faith open to You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now I want to continue tonight on love projecting, or the projecting of love, number 6, and we'll likely continue this again in the first Saturday of the next month. And we're going to read from 2 Timothy, 2 verses in chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1, 7 to 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now you notice the 7th verse says, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Now, a little more literal translation, although there isn't anything too much more literal, is that God has not given us the spirit of cowardice or fearfulness, but of power and of love and of a sound or disciplined or correct mind. Now, you'll notice in here that Paul has set forth three remarkable qualities of a spirit-filled life. Number one is power, which is literally dunamis. You get the word that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word is literally dunamis, which literally means an actual power. It's not the word authority, which is a secondary word when you talk about power. The power of authority, this is not so. This is literal power that we have. You shall receive power. The next word, of course, is love, and that's the word that is used, the agape love, which really usually is translated by Wiest as a self-sacrificial divine love. However, we'll let it go as love, which is divine love, or the agape love. And third is a correct mind, which would be one which contains the revealed word or has been set straight by the revealed word. Now, these three attributes are the inherent or God-given qualities of a fearless, courageous Christian. Now, that's one thing we want you to recognize. Many people are looking for something that they already possess, and thereby not recognizing what they possess, they cannot use it. The scripture here is very definite. This is not something we are to pray for, or we are to attempt to apprehend. This is something that is already ours. Those three attributes, if we're full of the Holy Ghost, power, love, a divinely revealed word, which has corrected our thinking, which, of course, signifies that we are in the virgin group. Now, these are necessary. These three qualities or attributes inherent in us are necessary for verse 8, wherein Paul says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, we want you to notice carefully here that according to verse 8, the attributes of verse 7, fearlessness, power, there's no fear because of power, a love, and a sound mind, these demand a warfare. they demand a warfare. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. Number one, we already have them. Number two, they do not presuppose, but they predetermine a warfare will be devolved upon you because of these things. Or you put it this way, because there is a warfare, you have been given these things. Now, let us even more carefully note that this warfare can be engaged in successfully then only by power, love, and a sound or correct mind. As it says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual, of course, and they're mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. Now, one might even go so far as to use the word chi, which is a conjunction, and throw it into the understanding of a preposition, where you might even read this verse, though I do not say it should be read this way, but we'll read it this way. For God hath not given us the spirit of fearfulness or of cowardice, but of power, even of love, even of a sound mind. So therefore, in reading it that way, you can come to the understanding that if you have a truly revealed word in your mind, knowing these things, then where is cowardice? I mean, good heavens. I don't like to be facetious, you know, telling jokes. But in my way of getting things across, sometimes I have to be very sarcastic. And I don't really mean to be, and I guess I could use something else. But remember, there was this fellow down in New York, and he was snapping his fingers and looking his face, and you could tell he's way off. The man said, "What's the matter with you, man? What's going on?" He said, "I'm keeping away the elephants." Well, he said, "Look, man," he said, "ain't an elephant in 2,000 miles. I'm doing a good job, ain't I?" All right, look. There isn't any fear. The way you act, you know there is. You see, this is what I'm reading here. When your mind is straightened out, see, there's not enough straightened out minds. People just aren't giving the Holy Ghost credit for telling the truth. Brother Brown said, "Let every man's word be alive, but let God's be the truth." Now here we're confronted with the tremendous truth. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. Certainly not. How could there be, when already the power of God is there, the love is there, and the perceptive mind? Now, the perceptive mind of the Holy Spirit goes to the things of God in contradistinction to the things of man. See? All right, this brings us to a very pertinent thought. Love. Agape love is given primarily, if not entirely for, and in order to manifest a Christ-likeness under the afflictions of the gospel and bring us into the victory of character. Now, it's given to us for that specific purpose. In order that we will be in ourselves a thorough confirmation or a thorough confirming or conforming is a better word still, a thorough conforming to the word. And remember, it is under affliction. Now, right away you've got to start bringing your mind to a new arena. It's not that people have not thought in terms of love under conflict, but it is, has not been taken to the extent where the agape love is in never any other place than in conflict. Now, that's what you've got to think of. More perhaps than you've ever thought of before.
Now notice that love lies between, the love, that word agape, love lies between power and the correct or spiritual mind. It lies right between the Holy Spirit, God Himself, and the revealed Word, which God must reveal. Thus, if agape love is to manifest, it has to have its strength in God and its manifestation according to the Word. So therefore, the Word test is inevitable when you want to know whether you are in divine love or not. Now, I know that there'll be some ramifications with this, but you've got to start with the simple principle. It's the same way as you check out and check the spirits. Now, you have to apply the Word test to both the spirit and love. But you must know this, as I've already stated, that this is not a discouragement, or is written for discouragement or for doubt, but is written for encouragement. It is not the fear of a law that you have to live up to, but it is the revelation of a law that is already within you, that you already have. And you don't look outside of yourself for it. It is already there. But it will always be in a warfare. Now, remember, when a nation sends its army into battle, it is incumbent upon the nation to equip and to help the soldiers. This is the same with God. He does not send us into warfare without the equipment. Now we're going to read in 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 10. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And where is Christ Jesus? He's in you. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now keep moving. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now we'll get into that a little more. About entangling with things alike. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now you got a big fight right now with the Russians and the Olympics because of the people believe they've given women hormone shots and or men hormone shots so they can win all the Olympic events. I don't know if that's true or not, but makes you think, doesn't it? Bible already knew what they'd be doing. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, let us also note even vehemently that this warfare, because it's a warfare we're into, and how you be armed, this warfare is involved with a two-edged sword. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 5 again here. And it says that thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him that hath chosen to be a soldier. So man also strive for masteries, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. All right. With that, we're going to go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice it's a two-edged sword. Piercing even to asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and marrows, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, neither is any creature not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All right? What you're noticing here is that this soldier that is in this warfare, full of the Holy Ghost, with power, love, and enlightened and recreated mind, is actually fighting with a two-edged sword, which means he is constantly, internally and externally engaged. We are fighting ourselves and fighting the enemy. Over in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, run to thou art also called. Remember, you're not just called to eternal life, you're called to a good fight. Follow after, he says, and as thou hast professed a good profession with many witnesses. Now, remember then that when we're dealing with love, we're dealing in a warfare, we're dealing with the two-edged sword, and the two-edged sword will cut internally, it cuts externally. Now, we have enemies out there. And the enemies that we have, of which number one is the enemy, which is the devil. And he is the accuser of the brethren. And always we're going to have a problem until the day we die in this warfare that is ordained of the Lord, of which the element of love comes in very, very strong. Now, we're going to read some more scripture. Try to bring it all together as time goes along. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Now watch. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I as not as one that beateth the air. But notice, I keep under my body. Now he doesn't say he keeps his body under, he says I keep under my body. Which is like a wrestler picks a man up and goes into one of those airplane spins and tosses him plumb out of the ring and the guy's finished. That's exactly what Paul does. He gets under his body. Puts his body completely out of balance. Showing that he takes control over himself as a human being. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now remember, we're dealing in this subject of love, so just keep on moving with me. But we're in a battle. It's a two-edged sword battle. We gotta watch ourselves. We gotta watch out there. You gotta deal with yourself. You gotta deal with the person out there. And if the dealing has to be according to the word. 1 Peter then, the 5th chapter, perhaps verses 8 to 10 somewhere in there we'll go to. Now, be sober, you know, casting all your care upon him, he cares you, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, with cause and eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you suffer a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, you can't be that way without suffering. Now, 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and in the 11th verse, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. Now, in there, that's where Paul preaches in verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgave also. I forgive also. If I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, I forgave it for your sakes in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get the advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Thus we can see that we will be engaged in the problem of keeping ourselves from hypocritical love in order to manifest real love. Now that's what we're driving at here. There's a two-edged sword, which is that word of God that is going to be your one definition of whether you're walking in love. It cuts both ways. You've got to look inside and you've got to look outside so that you know exactly how you're dealing with yourself and what is outside of yourself, so that you know that you are walking in love, not a hypocritical love. Because the Bible teaches there is a hypocritical agape love. Now, this is the escape from self-righteousness and pretentious judging of others. Now, I know you're not following me too good, because, you see, it takes a while for all this to sink in and get what I'm talking about. And I'm not finished. We'll be on this for several months in communion services. Now, this, what we're talking about, love, is just no different from anything else that's pertaining to the gospel. It does not presuppose, but it is predestinated to be engaged in a warfare. And the warfare will be internal and external, because it's a two-edged sword. And you're going to have to watch yourself as you watch outside, or you can end up with what you think is an agape love, and you're nothing but a hypocrite. Now, so I'm trying to show you something. You've got to be in a balance. And there's only one way you can be in a balance, and that's with the Word. The same as you can take the gifts of the Holy Spirit and end up a complete make-believer and a false anointed. So you can be fooled on this love stuff. In fact, there's nothing you cannot be fooled on, unless you've got that sound mind. See? And a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost will give you power, love, and the understanding where they both lie in your life and in the church and that around you. And unless you've got that balance, you have got nothing but destruction. Just remember, Satan has no power except what God allows him to use, because there is no power but of God. Period. That's why he makes the wrath of man to praise, and the remainder wrath he does restrain. All right. Thus we can see that we'll be engaged in the problem of keeping ourselves from hypocritical love in order to manifest real love. Now, this is the escape from self-righteousness and pretentious judging. Romans, the 14th chapter, 1 to 13. Him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, he comes in and starts fussing, and everybody joins in the fuss. Say, hold it, fella, sit right there. There are lots of weak people. You don't have to run the show. Just sit there. Just sit there and listen. Who did Brother Branham use one time to ruin every meeting he had? Little Becky, a baby, with the devil in her, crying and ruining every service. Nobody got any sleep. Nobody got anywhere. So what did Brother Branham do when he realized what it was? He cast the devil out. But he said, that's great for Brother Branham. Put it wherever you want to put it. There's a lesson. For one believeth they may he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Now see just how low you can get. Now we got our bellies involved. Oh, I had green onions last night. Makes me burp. Don't you eat green onions, you'll be a bad Christian. It's pretty much protect your stomach. What if my stomach's a cast iron? I don't burp, or I like the way I burp. Maybe it tastes good. Look, see where you can go? Merciful God. It's pity you got to read a Bible like this. Yeah. Even Ephesians got his problems. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. You start a fight right there. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eats. for God hath received him. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? This guy's a judge. He's not a believer in the word where he should be. He's a judge. Where do you get, I can't eat onions or garlic? My wife wasn't putting salt in her eggs. She's waving salt. I said, you have all that? I'm going to have all the salt I want because I'm not much of salty because the Bible says salt is good. I said, I believe the Bible. So now she's got to eat salt. Doctor gave her urine test, found her. She's throwing her the sodium out like going out of style. So the mama's got to adhere to the Bible. Little joke. The Bible's nobody's no clown book. Doctor might tell me, look, you can't eat products because it has to do with milk. I say I eat butter because the Bible said butter's good. You see, you're a little bit silly. Now, I'm sure I'm good. I'm a little bit silly, aren't you? Now listen, to his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him to stand. Turn scary. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. That's the way it should be. Every day is first of the week celebrating his resurrection living. That every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth he not regard it. He that eateth eats to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eats not to the Lord eats and giveth God thanks. That sounds like quite a little deal, doesn't it? For none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live or we live to the Lord, whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen, there's always been a judgment seat in seven church ages. This word is open to everybody to be judged by right now. And don't think that down the road you're going to be judged. That's just the day you stand there, you're being judged right now. Because the record can't change. See? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. What if that's being done now? That's the way it should be done. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's the way it should be done right now. Send our sins on before him. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion in his brother's way. That's the word. That's love. Now, see? I know that I am persuaded. Now listen, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now he's talking about that weak fish brother. Now this is the hour of strong meat. There aren't any weak fish brethren amongst us. Now let's get that flat. Now you say a brother there are. Not in my books. You better grow up in a hurry. And don't come around here with this kind of nonsense. Because we're past that. You don't bring this junk in the presence of Jesus Christ in this hour. You bring manhood. Let's understand that. Or something tells me if it's time to die, we're dying. Not down there someplace out in the boondocks. Now, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So, let's be real nice, Don. No, you don't listen anymore. The word has been manifested, vindicated. The judge is here. Nobody's going to come around here and tell us going to take the word from us. Because that's your criterion. Now, Paul had his stomach full of these weak Christians. He said, by the time you ought to be teachers, somebody's got to come by and teach you again. We have had that happen. The prophet in the former reign came by, as in Hebrews 6. And the vision of Hebrews 6 was a man in white, sowing seed plumb around the world. The gospel of the kingdom. And a man, the devil, went behind him, sowing the tares. Now, we just got one thing with tares. We chop them up. Let's talk about the word that's wrong. We just chop it up. I said, thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest not charitably. What about him? Well, that's okay for some little infant. That's okay when a person first comes in. Let's just keep moving. If he's going to get destroyed in that, he ain't never had any first thing. Let's just keep reading. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth God is acceptable to God and approved of them. Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace, and things therewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the works of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine or anything whereby a brother stumbles, if he's offended or made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself the things that he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned of heat because he doth not have faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now I want to ask you a question. When you look at these people that could come in, we'll say they're weak and all, which I can't buy anymore at this hour because we're at the end time. We've got to look for some quality of strength and all. I want to ask you a question. With Paul saying, all right, I want to tell you, I'm building the church this way. Nobody eats meat unless I say so. It was built on the word. And he was showing a charitable spirit by saying, hey, these people are coming in now. They've had a wrong religion. They've had a false doctrine. And I want you to bear with them. Somebody going to come amongst and say, well, look, I don't believe anybody should eat pork. We all got to stop eating bacon. Well, if the man was going to go to hell because that's a different story. Different story entirely. But when you have a vindicated word, we're in. Not one word concerning meat was given by the prophet, except to say this. You had better thank God for it and ask him to sanctify it, because you know what's wrong with it. A literal cleansing of impurities, as it were. Then you stay with that word. Now, what I was looking at here is the undeniable fact of what he tells you here, that there is such a thing as a genuine love, and there is that which is not a genuine love. Now, the only way we can really know if our love is genuine is not of our own thinking, but it is according to the word. Now, there might be those that are weak that were in the beginning. But in this hour, with the clear revelation we have, we are not in that category, but we are far beyond it. Now, the scripture distinctly tells us, let love be without dissimulation, which, of course, very correctly is, let love be without hypocrisy. And that is what we're looking at. Love can no more be that which is hypocritical. But it tells us very, very clearly in the same scripture wherein love cannot be hypocritical, it must be without dissimulation, it tells us that we are to hate evil and love righteousness. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is he talking about? Well, you've got to go back to the beginning. What was evil? The evil deed of Cain was in the face of the imminent and preeminent revelation of the blood, he deliberately took the word on the first fruit, which was a resurrection offering, and he refused the blood and went to his own understanding. Now, that man did not have a sound mind. And where did it go? It turned him to hate, and he killed his brother. Now, there is no place where a Christian gives way to the misinterpreted, unrevealed, perverted word of any hour. How can you love righteousness and love evil at the same time? Unrighteousness, it cannot be done. Now, we're told to take our stand in that respect and that category. Now then, we are believing that love is actually a scripturally motivated and scripturally followed action that is suited and necessary for certain adverse conditions. Now, we're looking at it. We've got to balance ourselves with the word. When you're involved in love, you're involved in a fight. I'm sorry to say, but you're involved in a fight. You're involved in what is internal. You're involved in what is external. And you've got to apply the Word of God with the understanding of the revelation of that Word and stay with it. Now, it's going to cost you plenty. Okay? We're going to go to Matthew 5, 43 to 46. Because this is agape love, or the agape love that you're talking about. Okay? Now he says, you have heard that it hath been said, love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I send you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them spitefully to use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, what's he talking about there? As if that's not your false anointed, what is he talking about? But he's also talking about the fact, too, that God does give them rain. He does give them good things like he gives you and me. Now, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same thing? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But the big thing we're looking at is, for if you love them that love you, what reward do you have? Do not the publicans the same? Now, in each case here, love is the agape love. It's the same word. In verse 46, it uses the expression two times. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? That is agape love. In other words, that's that word. And the love is being used wrong. Now, here's what he's saying. If this is what love is to you, the expediency of politics, that is your God, and that is your God love. Now, he said it's not going to work. Now, that's what he's saying here. He said, if this is what love is to you, a divine love, if this is your understanding, he said, then you are wrong. You have a false divine love. You have a hypocritical love. Okay, let's go to 1 John, the second chapter, and in verse 15. Now he says to 17, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God, the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not the Father's of the world. Now, Brother Brad said one word off is the Satan's kingdom. And the world passes away in the luster of it, he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now compare that with 1 John 4, 5 and 6. And it says, for they are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he is not of God, he that is not of God heareth not us, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, let's go back to John 5 and 46 with this in mind. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. Now, there's no warfare involved there. There's no warfare involved there. See? Now, if there is a warfare incumbent upon the fact that you stand for truth, knowing that you are one with that word, then that is the agape love. But when there isn't that, as you see here, there is no warfare. It doesn't cost anything. It is out only to cement a political situation. That's all it's doing. But notice in Matthew 5 and 44, there's a warfare. But I say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them despite they use you. Now listen, the same author of this scripture wrote what we read back in John. Now, watch. In here, 5 and 44, there is an internal and an external warfare. Because here's a man that hates you. Here's somebody that curses you. Here's somebody that persecutes and spitefully uses you. Now you, on the other hand, are to engage in the warfare that is brought about through hate and righteousness in a conflict, which is spiritual, and you are to stand there with the Word of God as your guide internally. See? You've got to do it. Now you're beginning to know what love is. Now let us carefully examine even more what warfare it is and what love will do. So we ask the question, in this warfare of love, does it back away from the stand in the gospel? Now let's take a look at over here in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, 15 to 19. Now let us therefore as many be perfect, as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now even weeping. They are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, glory their shame, and they mind earthly things. Now, Paul did not say at any time to back away from the stand of the gospel. Now, Paul took a stand with the Word and the conduct that lies in the Word, and even though there were those who persecuted him and tried to stop him from his manner of living, he stood 100% with that Word. That's why the revelation is given. Remember, Cain had the same Word that Abel had. See? The same Word. But he would not bow to the revelation of the blood. That's why he rose up, and the scripture says he killed his brother. Now, as I've been bringing out before, there's where people get all mixed up in their thinking, because it says he that hated his brother is a murderer. To take your stand for truth is not hating your brother.
Amen.
Now, if you want to knock him down and do something bad to him, that's wrong. But if you don't stand with the Word, you're wrong. See? Now, the warfare has always been in the Scripture over the Word. It's always been. In fact, the record of the whole Bible is what God says and God does, then what man does with what God says and God does, and then God's got to come back on man. If that man ever stood there and saw what God did and listened to what God said and reciprocated, God wouldn't have to come back on that man. He'd take him right into glory. That's why you're going to have a bride at the end time that's lined up. You bet it's going to be lined up. You watch and see. She's going to have these things ironed up. Now, love does not back away from the gospel. That's why I get these letters, and these people come from around the world and they can't stand me. I don't expect them to stand me. I'm not interested in standing me. But I'm not going to have them come by me and they line up with those in false doctrine who want to destroy the word that their prophet gave, and me stand by and say, it's okay, boys. Well, it's not okay. Now, if anybody sitting here thinks it's okay, you've got the wrong idea of my idea of love, and I'll stand against yours any day that you've got a gutless, stupid, I don't know what kind of a love. Because you don't believe in saving grace, you believe in rotten, unsaving disgrace. Man comes along and he tells me that that he believes without the shout, you can't be in the rapture, and then turn around and deny the very things the prophet said. The grace of Almighty God that said, except I send Elijah, I destroyed the whole bunch. And the very descent and the appearing of Christ is the shout, which is the message. And then people turn on it. What do you think brings persecution? Now, if I've got to preach something that wherein the fence of the cross is voided, and let me tell you, Lee Vale is a skunk. And he's no more got even anything of the Spirit of God than a dead horse has. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit gave this word and revealed this word, no Holy Spirit's going to fill a man with the kind of a spirit he is and then go back on the word. I bet it's right. Don't tell me anybody's got love. Because he hasn't got a spirit that's courageous and stands for. There's no way he's got love. He can't love God. He can't love his fellow man. Because he's going to perpetrate a disgrace and a fallacy upon those people he says he loves. So let's get the understanding. You don't back away from the gospel. There's no such thing as a love that doesn't align with the gospel. I'm sorry about that. No way good. Now, does love not come out against evil? Let's take a look at Titus. That's the first chapter, 10-14. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That's your legalist. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This fellow came out of Crete, see? This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. I'm going to tell you something. You say, is this the same fellow that rode over there in Romans? A man comes in and says, I don't believe you ought to eat bacon. He said, well, I don't believe you ought to eat bacon either. You say, I shouldn't eat bacon because there are nitrates. Well, take some vitamin C. Take a little faith with your Bible. Rebuke them sharply, may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. That little weak Christian over there in Romans hadn't got to first base yet. Says, treat him real nice. Be real nice and kind. Go along with him. Do your best to bend over backwards even. How about this? What happened to Paul? Did anything happen? No. This poor kid comes along and he's not got to first base because he's still a little baby. These fellas here, they're teaching. And they're doing things they ought not to do. All right? It says right here that all things are pure to the pure in heart. And even their minds and conscience are defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. All right? How much love did Paul show there? He showed all kinds of love. He cleaned the church up. There's nothing wrong with that. A man take his stand. All right? Does love let sin go uncorrected? Let's go to First Corinthians. Here's your fifth chapter. Corinthians, reported among you, verse 1, fornication among you, such fornication not to name among the Gentiles. They want you to have his father's wife, no doubt a young stepmother, but you're puffed up. Now that's not love when you're puffed up. That's a human foul contraption. And rather not mourn that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gather together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ,
That's dunamis right there, and authority, I suppose, too. Deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven? Leaven's a whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, ye may be a new lump. For ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and milk. Now he's telling you right here that there's malice amongst them, and and wickedness. So I say, well, I thought they're nice, gentle people. See, they put up with that sin. You don't put up with sin. I wrote unto you an epistle not to accompany with fornicators, yet not only get the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous extortioners, idolaters, but then need go out of the world. That tells you right there, you can go down to a restaurant, you can have business associates, and they can be covetous extortioners, they can be idolaters, fornicators, you can sit and eat with them. Oh, sure. They're not part of you. But you can't do that in church. You can't go in an unsaved person's house, clean out his house. You can't go out there in the world and do anything to these politicians. No way. The best you can do is pray for them and leave in the hands of God. Ain't going to work anyway. It's too late. I pray every day for them, but you know what I do? I pray for our sake. Number one, we're supposed to. Number two, hoping something might happen to do some good. I ain't hoping too hard. Might as well tell you the truth. But I pray. I don't pray in derision. I just pray. But now written unto you not to keep company of any man that's called a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, adulterer, railer, drunkard, extortionate. Don't eat with such person. For what have I to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Why do you keep the church clean? You've got to keep it clean. Love doesn't let the church go to the dogs. But them that are without, God judges. That's why you put out that person, see? Therefore, put away that wicked one from among you. All right? Does it back away from truth? Let's go to John 3:16. Now, remember, Brother Branham said, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts are blinding the eyes of the fundamentals through the preaching of the cross. Let's take a look at the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believed in him should not perish, but everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world, but to condemn the world, but through the world, through him the world might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know what it says, the condemnation is, even though the blood's there, no light, no blood. That's right, the blood does not avail. Now let's prove it. Let's go over here to, let's watch in First John, the third chapter. Begin at verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now watch. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now notice in there, he's not saying two things, he's saying the thing in the one breath. See? I know people want to separate it. I can't separate it. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And you notice that that person will not have love for his brother. He can't. Now let's go further and prove it. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, it tells you right there that his brother, Cain, actually killed Abel because he carried out a wrong revelation. And because Abel stood with the truth, Cain rose up and killed him. So, therefore, when you're looking at these people, there is no such thing as a true agape love because they're plumb off the word. Because the agape love is the love which is with the Word. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it goes. The other is political. Now let's face it. Well, that's just the truth. Now it says we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. What brethren? The brethren of Christ. He that heareth us is of God. Those that are right. All right.
In no way do we back away. Now listen, if a true lover of God is a heretic to the make-believer, that's right. The true lover of God is a heretic to the make-believer. Then agape love, when it is truly agape love, will be denied as agape love by the make-believer and the unbeliever or the foolish virgin or whatever. Do you follow what I said? They're going to say, you guys don't have it. You don't have it. They're going to tell you flat. Now let's go to the scripture. Let's go to John. Because this is what we got to work in. We got to work in the Gospel of John. But you notice how the Paul confirms every single step. The Gospel of John 5, beginning at verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Now watch. He says, my judgment does not come from my own inner compunction or desires or discriminations. It only comes from what I heard. Now, he doesn't say he doesn't judge. Now, a lot of people got this all messed up, judging and judging. There's judging and there's judging. And they're judging which is correct, they're judging which is wrong. Now, when you stand with the Word, and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you've already got love because the Bible said so. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and not have love and not have a correct mind. So therefore, you will find that you're like a balance. God, Word, and here the column is love. And you happen to be that column, which is going to manifest God, which is going to manifest Word. All right, let's keep reading. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I speak not my own will, but the will of the Father sent me. And if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. William Branham could say the same thing. That's why he could stand up there in heaven and say, you bunch of mossbacks. That was the judgment of God right there. He got a little bit alarmed. He said, the same one that told me this thing over here told me to say this. Now, you sent unto John. He bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man. But these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you're willing to for a season to rejoice in his light. But I've got a greater witness than that of John. The works that the Father gave me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. The Father himself which has sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Now he was putting them right down the line on their revelation, completely messed up. Completely askew. When Brother Branham used the word scrupled up, that's exactly what they were. Now he said, you talk about the love of God in you, and you got the love of God. Let me tell you one thing. He said, you haven't got either one. How can there be the agape love outside of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is one with the Word? How can any man say he's got the love of God and back away from the Word? Now, come on, I want to know tonight. For God's sake, I want answers, because I'm sick and tired of all this nonsense. I'm sick and tired of hearing Jesus say in John 15 and 24, if I had not done the works another man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And say, oh, that's not so, brother. That's not so. Oh, no. Then Jesus was a liar. God is a phony and a farce. Well, we got some breath of life. Let's get out here and do something.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's something wrong somewhere.
But I'm sick and tired of this thing called love, love, love. And it's no more love than nothing. Murderers and liars. Now look. There is nothing I can do about this stand that I take. Because there's no Christian can take any other stand than with the Word. Because Brother Branham said a heretic, according to the other man, is a fellow that doesn't worship the way you'd like him to. That's what it boils down to. He said a man's called a heretic by the way he worships. If you can only worship God in spirit and in truth, and worship will involve love, where is your love outside of the revealed truth the prophet brought us? And when the so-called brethren, which I admit they are, in the King and Abel drama, they have only one course in mind. And that is to destroy you for the sake of their own word. And they think they're doing God a favor. Now, I know when I fight back, I am not doing God a favor. And I don't pray for their death or anything else. I simply stand with the word. And I will stand with the word. And by the grace of God, whatever it costs, I hope I will stand with the word. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? That is Matthew 5 again. They call agape love, the agape love, which is nothing but a political cementing. There's no warfare engaged. I'm going to tell you something. You believe this word of God, there is a warfare engaged. And your love of your fellow man is going to be directly commensurate with your true love that you have for God. And he's only displayed by the word. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote to me. All right, let's go to John 8 now. We're going to read right through on John 8. 37 to 48. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Now notice what he's saying. I speak that which I've seen with my father, you do that which you've seen with your father. The answer said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication, of one father, even God. Now notice, they're claiming God for their father. Now listen, Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. Now what is the trouble? Word!
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
He said, for which word do you stone me? They said, oh, not for any good work. He said, because you made yourself the son of God. Well, that was the word. Why do you think they killed Jesus? Because he came against their tradition. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He went down fighting. He said, I could call presently 12 legion of angels and get out of here. So I won't call one because I'm going to die for it. But I'm going to die for the truth, because in my dying for the truth there is redemption. Then you and I have got to die for the truth, because only in the truth is there redemption. We have to die for it. A man says he loves God. What love you got of God? Man says, I'm not ashamed. How many people be ashamed of this message? You better hear the sermon again, Brother Ban said, ashamed of him. You'll find us ashamed of the word. People can't take it. So, well, Brother Ban, we could take the word. We can't stand your hard ways. Well, that's fine by me. If you just, I'll give you the sermons and you read them. Let's see where you go. He'll leave anyway. Tisn't my hard preaching. It's all. It's not that at all. Now he said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now why couldn't they hear? There's no Holy Ghost there. There's no seed. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you, he said, can convince me of sin? Find one word I'm wrong in, or confute me. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said, say we not, well, you're a Samaritan, you've got a devil, so much for you, boy. Now, why did they want to kill him? For one reason, he came against their word, their traditions. All right, now let's go back to 1 John 3 again, in the 10th verse where it came from. Let's just keep weaving the thing back and forth until the thing begins to pattern itself out. And you see, my brother, sister, you have got to stand and be one with this word. Or your love goes plumb down the drain. Now, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. All right, number one, is he that doeth not righteousness is what you've got to watch, because you can't expect any love out of it. He'll kill you. That doesn't mean you're going to kill him. But it means this, if he kills you, that's all right. But you're not going to change your word. And it doesn't mean you're going to back away from it. Say, well, okay, brother, I know you're offended because I believe it. This is my pulpit. I'll preach what I want here. If you don't like it, you're the ones that go. I'm happy because you don't have any confidence in me. Fine. You can find yourself someplace else. It's just that simple. I've got no problem there. No problem at all. Because if I was preaching for money, I think I'd pick me a little better crowd than this. Now, it's not that you don't do good, you're tremendous. Now, don't ever think I'm running you down. You're tremendous, you're fantastic, you're extra good. I wouldn't trade you for 20 size this congregation. That's even financially, so you see, there's no problem there. But I just want you to know, look, I preach because I've got a conscience. If I didn't believe what I'm saying, what'd be the use? All right, now, it's manifestation. And he that doeth not righteousness. This is the message you heard in the beginning, we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother righteous. Now watch this. In this the children of God are manifest, and children of devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Alright? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. This is the arena of the religious and spiritual combat. Now, let's face it. The world out there doesn't give 2 cents what you believe in. Well, they say that bunch is a bunch of idiots. They believe all this kind of junk like, oh man, you ought to hear what they believe. They take something from the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, and Christian Scientists, God knows what, the Methodists, the whole bunch, they're the most... Oh, somebody threw a whole bunch of rotten eggs in a centrifuge and turned out Branhamites. It's exactly the way they got it figured out. You know where the fight is? Amongst us who say we believe what the prophet said. Just like Cain and Abel stood there in the presence of God, and God said, I want blood. And Abel says, not on you, and Cain says, not on your life. And Abel said, look, I want to tell you, this is the answer I got back on the blood. It was, the offering was consumed. The pillar of fire manifested to it. This is the exact truth. It's the same pillar of fire manifested to a prophet. And they say, uh-uh, won't take it. That's where the whole trouble is. Now I'm going to tell you, William Branham walked out of the Baptist because Dr. Davis said, I'm going to ordain a woman preacher and you're going to help me. And he said, I'm not helping you anywhere. I'm helping myself out. Because David said the same thing of Pentecost. Yeah, who said to me, it'll cost your papers. Fine. I'll even pay you to take them.
Word. Paul said they're going to get me because of the way I worship. Now here is the picture. Your love does not betray the Word of God. Your love of God stands up against anybody and anything at any time. Your freedom which you have in Christ, you do not betray or allow betrayed to anybody if it costs your life. But you do have the debt, and we all have the debt to speak to those people if they'll listen. When they won't listen, you show me where John and Paul agreed with Alexander the coppersmith and Hymenaeus. You show me where he did. You show me where he allowed Barnabas to get away with what Barnabas tried to pull on him. Now, you're talking about men of the Scripture. I'm talking about men of the Scripture. Now, David didn't put one hand on Saul to try to kill him, but Saul tried to kill David. But David came right back and told Saul, you're the anointed already. Go and tell you something. You're wrong. Love does not back away from the Word. It does not back away from correction. It doesn't do any of these things. It stands right with the Word of Almighty God, because in that Word lies all of these things. Thus, the agape love must be judged as every spirit is judged to know if it is real. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Here's a chapter of love. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Just a big bag of hot air, that's all, rambling around, making a noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith, I can move mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Though I give my body, just throw all my goods to the poor, and give my body to be burned, and have not love, it doesn't profit me one little thing. Now, I want you to notice that two things in there are spoken of. Power and fruit. Right. Charisma and fruit. That's exactly. Kind old priest with his love and the false anointed with the power. Here they are. Now it says here, you can have your body burned. I'm sorry, that's not love. I gave everything I had to feed the poor. I'm sorry, that's not love. You say, well, it's got to be love. No, it don't got to be love. Because they did it and there was something missing. And what was missing was love.
Amen. Let's go to John 16, 1-3. Just hold your fingers there.
These things I spoke unto you, that you shall not be offended. They shall put you out of synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think he's doing God a service. And these things they'll do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now John says, I wrote little children because you know the Father, you know the Word, you know the Son, you got love in the whole thing. These people don't have it. But they're doing these things. Now Paul warns of it. Now listen. Love is not just raw power or juicy fruit. Though we do not deny either one of them. Now that's where I get all my criticism. And you'll get yours. They say, oh, Bale doesn't believe in gifts. I certainly do. Or doesn't believe in fruit. I certainly do. I wish I had 9 of the fruits and 9 of the gifts. All in one little boy. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I wish it did. Potentially, sure. We do not deny the reality of one or both. And one does not abrogate the other, which means love does not put these out of commission. A man say, well, I got love, I don't have fruit, and I don't have gifts. Well, I say, come on now. That's your Baptist junk. Oh, they say, I got the greatest thing I got out of this love. They got all the love and fight in Almighty God's Word? Yeah. Oh, the Baptists are crazy as the Pentecostals are.
What do you expect? Denominations don't, they're crazy. But listen, they don't have the right mind. They gotta be insane. I'm not speaking in physical, I'm speaking in spiritual. Now listen. But notice, love is defined in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Now listen, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not niggardly, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. All right, listen. Then, since love is defined in 1 Corinthians 13:48, is simply a picture of both the charismatic and the fruit, where both the charisma and fruit are on display with the vessel out of the picture. Didn't catch it, did you? Did you catch it? Love is gifts and fruit with the vessel out of the picture. Again, we vehemently maintain the words of the prophet. My gift is to get out of the way. No wonder we saw love. That's right. Because William Branham knew how to get out of the way. So what is love? Love is learning to get out of the way. Because that's what it says here. It tells you what love isn't. It is not in the charismatic purity. It is not in the fruit purity. No. What is it? It tells you what it is. It's you getting out of the way of both of them. Getting out of the way so that both can have their preeminence. Let both gifts and fruit abound, with men getting out of the way, and love will abound. Now we see God in three manifestations, Spirit, Word, and love. What is love? God in a vessel, with the vessel out of the way. Pure Word, pure God. But it is the battle. It takes a battle. And we are the battlegrounds. That's the rough part of it. But what can you do about it? You can't do anything about it. You've got to go along with it. You say, can it be done? Sure, it can be done. Only believe. That's what the theme song of this hour is. Only believe. And with him here, all things are possible. Now, this is what I want to get across tonight, and we're going to go into more and more as time goes on. But I want you to realize this, that there cannot be a love that's a true agape love that people talk about unless it is one with that word. There is no way, shape, and form. For when God so loved the world, he gave the only begotten Son. It was 100% with Christ. And he said, find me one word that you can confute me on. Find me one word. Now that's where we stand today. The major stand is with the word of Almighty God. And when you stand with that word, that's right, and begin to learn to get out of the way, because there has got to be a way to get out of the way, brother, sister. Brother Branham categorically said concerning the blood, the holiness, in Matthew 5:48, he categorically said God commanded it. God demanded it. So if God demanded it, God has to make a way for it. And that's exactly where we are today. God has made a way, because we do not have a spirit of cowardice and fear, but we have a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And notice the love is right in between the two. So what is love? Love is certainly a manifestation of God. How does God manifest? We get out of the way. I'll read you one more verse of scripture and then we'll close, because our time is more than gone. Over here in Ephesians, I'm going to read it to the way it's written. The literal translation.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the exercise of his power that is at work within us. God absolutely using his own authority and life which he placed within us takes you from glory to glory. As the apostle Paul, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what was Paul's defense? Always, he said, I preach the cross. I preach the gospel. One deviation, brother, sister, puts you completely in Satan's world. One deviation puts you completely off the love of Almighty God. How can it? How can it not? Stay with this word. But demand of yourself this understanding. I am in a battle. I cannot fight this battle. There's no way. And yet I'm obligated to fight it. So what can you do? We've got to learn to be like the prophet. Get out of the way. That's all our biggest trouble. It's not that we don't have everything the Bible says we have. There's not one of us doesn't have the love of God shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There's not one of us doesn't have it. If we're born again, not one of us that is without a revelation. There's not one of us that's a coward. There's not one of us doesn't have power. There's not one of us that doesn't have this strength. What it is, brother, sister, we have been fooled by the devil for so long that it's something we've got to do to go and get it. When all the while, is to just simply get out of the way. Well, that's going to be the toughie. And yet, is it? Is it, if God wants it? The prophet said, if God demands it, then God must make a way for it. You see, I'm of the faith tonight to believe that God has made a way for everything. And I preach these hard messages for one reason. I believe God is going to do something about it. I have preached this middle of the road for the every year since Brother Branham has gone, and I preach it more desperately. I preach it more to the point. All the time it gets clearer and clearer. And I know without a shadow doubt in my own understanding of what revelation I have, that God is performing his word. And we've got to the place of factual faith. And now we're getting to the place where you watch. God has said it. It is going to happen. And the start is with the word. The love must continue and abound until reality is amongst us as it's never been. And they say, oh, how they love. And it's the truth. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, we've taken our time before you tonight. Maybe longer than we wanted to. Certainly it is. It's always longer than maybe we need to and all. But we have done, Lord, what we tried to do to stand as strong and as hard as we can with this word, not to be hard as though we can't learn more and understand more, and not as though we want to call swinging with a club or a 4x4 or a sword. For Lord, really, within ourselves, we know that if you one day, after the Spirit went back, there is a man kneeling in the garden saying, if somehow this cup can pass from us, let it pass, but if it can't, then let your will be done. And Lord, we're in the same position here. We would like to say, it'd be nice if we could just kind of sit down, fold our hands, cross our feet,